Glory to Jesus Christ. Weep not, we heard. The spiritual passage for today that surrounds the term weep not. What a very powerful gospel that we get on the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, the third Sunday of Luke's reading. How incredible it is, how much power there is, but how much we overlook constantly in our daily lives what this is actually saying to us. When we look back and we think all of the miracles that Christ did, He could just touch someone and raise someone from the dead. But what's the purpose? One of the purposes was told to us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And we have all heard this, I know. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Why did Christ raise this poor woman's daughter? Now, it's not the first miracle, or son, I'm sorry, son. It is not the first miracle raising someone from the dead. It's not a miracle just to tell us that, hey, this is a powerful guy. Hey, you know, he means what he says. This is the illustration, the utter illustration, the utmost illustration of the resurrection. This is a miracle of the resurrection. There were only two other times before this that anyone was risen, had been raised from the dead by Christ. Therefore, three. There you go, that number three again. The completion of the triune God that we have grown so dear to love that will carry with us to the end of the age. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we remember from the other Gospels that He raised Lazarus from the dead, 4 days dead in the tomb. Let's face it, Lazarus had a smell. He was dead, but Christ raised him. He probably decomposed somewhat, but Christ raised him. Then there was Jairus' daughter, who, on her deathbed, again was risen from the dead, correct? So probably not much smell, recently dead. And then, there was the poor widow's woman at the gates of Nain, whose son was probably dead for 2-3 days because the procession had begun for his burial. He was in the bier, in the coffin, on his way to his burial. She didn't ask for her son to be lifted. She didn't ask that he came and resurrected. He had compassion. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came and said, put down your sword. I am the vine. I am the true branches. I have compassion. Weep not, fair woman. And this is not the first time we've seen this. How many of us so often sit in despair in our lives, in death of some form or another, whether it's a marriage in crisis in our own home, whether it's a child that's being picked on or beaten up, whether it's parents that just can't stay out of your life long enough to let you go with your spouse and plight your souls together so that you can make a life in Christ and a home worthy to carry you into the kingdom of heaven. How incredible was it that Jesus Christ used the weeping of a mother for her child? What greater pain could there be in this world than to lose a child? Thank God many of us have not had to endure that, but some of you have. What a pull from the heart. What a loss of all despair. What of any hope, and then to have Christ come along and say, poor woman. That wasn't the end of her troubles. Now, the way I look at it, Christ could have went on two different ways with this miracle, but I won't give you the theology or where some of that goes. He could have went two different ways and said, she lost everything, every single thing by losing her son, because she was a widow. So in the Mosaic law, in those times, she lost everything. There was no inheritor of the family's ground, of the family's estate. Therefore, she has nothing. She would have to hope and pray that a relative would take her in. Hope and pray that someone would send her money, because she lost not only her husband as a widow, she lost her son. Therefore, by Mosaic law, she lost everything that she would have had to live on throughout the rest of her days. But Christ had compassion and said, "Woman, probably, I will not give you more than you can endure. Through my resurrection, you will have your son." Now, each of these three had to die again, because they would have to suffer the sin of death and death of sin. So that will too come, just as Lazarus died again, just as Jairus' daughter died again, just as the widow's son died again. But these aren't the first. There was a foretelling even in the Old Testament. So you could say, how do we know this isn't just a prophet? How do we know that, because didn't Elisha raise from the dead? Didn't Elijah raise the son from the dead? Raise another son from the dead? And didn't St. Peter raise another? But he raised Dorcas from the dead. All because of the cries of women. Wow. How profound, how incredible it is. Do you ever think about that? Christ really takes the heart of not just man, but woman. He loves the woman so dearly that brings them so close, that performs these miracles. Because it is out of the womb that a child is born. It is out of love that a mother, whether from the womb or not from the womb, raises that child and pulls it into her heart. The father so often has to go off and earn a living. The father so often gains an arrogance about, this is what I do to provide for my family, which is condemned by the fathers. But the mother, in historical times, has always been there to raise her child. The mother so often has been there. So, this miracle that was performed to raise from the dead is so we can all learn from our lives. How great is anything we're going through? How severe is it that we should ever lose sight of Jesus Christ? For a mother, this is a tearing of her heart to lose her child. What can be worse even is if it's an estranged child, but this is a physical death. One death Christ knew. We were so incapable to digest what he had done through the word only, that he had to give us an example. And he gave it to us three times over. He gave it to us as a foretelling in the Old Testament, the life of the resurrection. And only through the life of the resurrection can we even think about entering the gates of heaven. These men in the Old Testament, the foretelling of what would happen, they have power through Jesus Christ. They have power as a channel, as a median, for what we saw, for what God had given to us through the resurrection to come of Jesus Christ. They were. When St. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead, it was because he asked this of God, not because he was God, not because he was. This was a foretelling of a prophet to come. This was a compassion that God had for us, that said, through their hand I will raise them, but it is by me alone that this can be done. It will be through my Son and the completion of the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that brings you in communion with the Father. One thing this tells me as I look deeper into it is the importance of how family is and needs to come together. How important the plight is for the husband and the man and the wife, the woman, to plight their lives together for the salvation of all souls, for the sanctification, and to become and complete a holiness that only God has graced us with. I was sitting at the dinner table one night, and my daughter's getting old enough, was old enough to put a DVD in the video recorder. And I'm at the head of the table. It's true. It's a rectangle table, and there I sit at the head. And my oldest looks over to me and says, "Dad." I said, "Yes." After we said a prayer, she said, "Aren't you going to say a blessing for the food?" And I said, "Well, we said the Lord's Prayer, honey." "No, I mean, aren't you really going to bless the food? You know, whenever we eat at church, Father blesses the food, so shouldn't you say, you know, bless the food?" "Okay, I will." We did that, and then she looked at me and said, "Dad, did you know that the man is the head of the household?" And I'm sitting there, and I'm, "Yes, he is. I've got three daughters, mind you, and a wife. I am in the minority." And my wife's jaw drops. And she said, "That's okay, Mom, because the woman's the neck and she moves him any way she wants to." Put the movies away. We all know she got into my big fat Greek wedding. But there is truth to this. Man relies on a woman for his entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Man cannot do it alone, for God gave us the help of a woman to show us compassion, to bring compassion to our hearts. Because no greater of a knife can go through the heart than for a woman to lose her son or her daughter. That is a death beyond death can bear. For it is a woman that so often brings us compassion. For even at the sixth hour, we pray to the Theotokos, a prayer that we ask for a prayer of a mother, that the mother to availeth much to the goodwill of the Lord. We pray for this, and so does the Christ, our Christ, hear the words of his mother. So does a child hear the words of their mother. So then, should we be there to support the mother? It is through this completed household that nothing cannot be endured in our daily lives. It is through this completion of our souls, of our life together, our sanctification, our entrance into the kingdom of heaven through a complete family, only to be destroyed by death itself, which is sin, which will hopefully soon by thy resurrection be together again, to raise these children up. We all know that these struggles we go on day by day are difficult. They're tough. They take us month after month. We know the pains that children bring us. We know the joys. And sometimes we know that the pains outweigh the joys in a certain week or a certain month or even a certain year. It seems, oh my gosh, I've had this health thing happen and that health thing happen. And God, why have you forsaken me? There was one man on this that came to this earth for our salvation that really could justify saying that. We hear in the gospel, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," in the Garden of Gethsemane. Even Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But is it if your will, I will stay here." We didn't have to endure that pain. We have a church. We have a priest. We have a community. We have one another. We don't have to go alone. That was done for the salvation of our souls. The blood had been shed. The beating of Christ had been completed so that we don't have to suffer any pain that we can't endure. We could not endure that, and no pain will be given to us that we can't endure. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter how bad it is, no matter how wicked life we feel treats us, we may say, "I lived a pious life. Why can I not have a child? Why did I have to lose my mother and father before my children even turned the age of 5 so they wouldn't know their grandparents? Why can I not sit and task this day? Why do I not have enough money to provide for my family?" Maybe it's something we don't know about. Maybe there's a reason that we don't question God, but we thank God for what has happened. God forbid, a child may be brought into this world with severe retardation that you two could not endure. Or that it's a single mother. And there was a miscarriage. That is why we have a prayer for this. For consolation, to ask thy holy Jesus Christ to come into our lives and bless what has been done so that we may carry on with our lives. We have a short memory of existence. One proof of that is no one would have more than one baby. I saw it. That's a lot of pain. I would never want to go through that again if I was a mother. But the sheer joy brought by what Christ has graced us with in children so that they can carry on His name is a complete pacifier for any pain that was ever caused by childbirth. He is compassionate enough so that that children aren't born with a mark of sin. They are born in a world of sin, but through His resurrection, that sin can be diminished. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a life of spiritual steadfastness. I urge you just to remember that just as pollution, just as unhealthy eating and living can bring the body to an unnatural death, so can the disease of sin, so can losing in despair and losing Christ and the sight of Christ and what His resurrection meant. And it is not so awful at times when we have to endure things that we endure in this life. Remember, we have each other. We do have the love of one another in the church, which, through His divine grace, has blessed us where two or more meet in His name. We have the prayers to administer medicine to all those that want it. We are not banished like Adam. We were not drowned like Pharaoh and the Egyptians. We were not put into fire like Sodom and Gomorrah, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Sin is the only thing that can deprive us of happiness. And the light and the life of the resurrection will bring us out of this depression. For I leave you with this. Remember, all power is given unto God and Christ in heaven and on earth. Every Christian should accept all sorrows as comings from the Almighty Himself, who desireth all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of thy truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
God,